an invite to never come along. I am the latest colors, I sing the new songs. I read all the lyrics so I can sing along. I am the latest colors, I hate the new songs. I can sing the lyrics, I never sing along. I'll never sing along. I can't fake it, I just make it on my own. I'll never sing along. I can't blame them, I'll just make them. And you just heard Girls by Aviva, before that Supermodel by Måneskin, and to start our set we had Machine Girl by Adela. So the time is 4 o'clock, you are tuned to WRUV 90.1 FM Burlington, your better alternative. But don't go away yet, coming up next is an exclusive interview with Dwight and Nicole about their new album and the release show, coming up on March 14th. So before we get into the actual interview, I'm going to be playing Melt Your Heart from their new album, so definitely stay tuned because we're going to be talking all about it, and we might even be playing some more music later, so stay tuned.
Like a valentine from your mom.
right, and you just heard Melt Your Heart by Dwight and Nicole. So they are here now, live on air. So just a reminder, you are tuned to WREV 90.1 FM Burlington, your better alternative. So Dwight and Nicole, how are you guys feeling today?
Hi.
Hi.
We're doing great.
Fantastic.
Very happy to be
that
here.
That is great to hear. So we are so happy to have you on air. This is amazing. So first question, whoops, not sure why that's happening. So my bad. Gotta love technology issues. It's basically my signature.
Oh, fine.
But what inspired you guys to start performing and writing in general?
Oh my God. It's been around me since I was a kid. So I would say my family. My grandfather was a piano player and had a band in Jersey where I grew up that played like the Cotton Club, played all over the place. So he played like family parties, and I played with him, and I don't know, I just kept going. I just loved it.
Yeah, I have a similar origin story in that it started like before I was born, with my parents loving music and me just always loving music, all different kinds. Each thing can like make you feel a different kind of emotion. So I connected to music as like my primary language as a very little girl.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Like, and I completely understand that, coming from musical families and like kind of continuing on the tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Nicole, I do actually have a question for you about your instrument, the tambourine. Like, how did you get involved with that? Like, what inspired you to start playing the tambourine?
That is a great question, and it's because it was light and small, and we could hop in the car and go somewhere, and he could play guitar, and we would have people. We actually brought a board, like a flat board, and would mic the board stomp it to get, like, lower kind of rhythmic stuff, and then the tambourine to get higher stuff. But I've now moved on to the bass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's, like, so such a cool idea to, like, mic a board that you guys are, like, stomping on. Like, that is so cool. And, like, that seems like a really, like, cost-effective way to get those, like, tones in. So that's super creative.
And we were, like, moving around a bunch. Like, we lived in New York City. We lived in Boston. And like, it was a lot of, like, really thick-heeled cowboy boots would give us the right tone on the plywood. So that was our, portable and good tones.
It was so easy.
Nice. The vibes were good with that.
Yeah.
So anything can be an instrument to you guys.
100%.
Wow. So obviously you guys were performing in Boston for a while. That's where you guys kind of got together and formed, Dwight and Nicole.
Mm.
So
yes.
What's it like performing in Boston, or what was it like performing there versus performing here in Burlington? Like, what's the scene?
This is a great question.
I would say very, very different, especially back then when we first met each other. I feel like it was like the aughts, I guess, or is that what we call it? 2010s.
My math is no good.
It was years ago. So the scene was like way more full of like small to medium sized clubs. There were a lot of like venues where like emerging bands were playing. There was battles of the blues bands, battles of the bands, like lots of, just the scene was very, very popping. Everybody was going out and seeing live music. And so for us, it was a place to play every single night of the week. It was great. Great cutting your teeth kind of a place. It's not quite as a lot of those smaller clubs as a lot of it we know that took a big hit, especially in the last 5 years, and they're gone now. So many of those places we used to play are gone.
It was exciting because there was so many different kinds of music too. So if you love blues, you love punk rock, you love country, Boston was a bigger pool for all that kind of stuff. And like, it wasn't the same like Netflix and everything else that we have in our lives, like in terms of our phones and our the other world. Is it was like more of a community that people love to go out and see live music as their primary way of doing anything. They would just be, that's where you'd meet people. But here is an amazing community. And like, I played a benefit last night for a composer that moved here from Rochester, New York. Is it Rochester?
Rochester.
And his name is Ted Perry, and he had a he is also a trauma nurse.
Wow.
And so he was bringing both of those worlds together. We played at SIBA last night to raise money for cancer and support for folks that are dealing with cancer. And like, I'm looking at that stage, and it's like Ray Vega, like one of the greatest trumpet players around, Dave Grippo, like Paul Asbell, fantastic musicians, and Ted, of course, played, and Connor Young, John McBride, Sean Williams, and it was like, and Jeff Kim was the other musician, and it was just like, it's such an amazing thing, and Clarence Davis on congas, of course, and I played drums and played some guitar, but like, just to be out there, it was like 8 inches of snow or whatever it is, and the community is in this little venue, and they're supporting this. They raised, I think, just under $5,000 for cancer. It's like, so that's like Vermont in a nutshell. It's like a smaller pool than Boston or New York, but at the same time, it's like rich, deep talent. And that goes for, this was just a small, I mean, there's like a million bands. I came here one day. I walked past like the, what is it, your coffee house here?
Yes, Brennan's, I believe.
And so, there's like a bunch of great new artists working on songs. Yeah. There was like a, is there a songwriting night or an open mic?
Yes, we have open mic nights. We actually have an event at Brennan's coming up from the Songwriters Guild here at UVM. So fantastic. Shameless plug, come see it. So
anybody can come and just check it out?
Yeah, it's like a $10 entry fee. So
I would just want to see everybody's ideas. Like that's the thing about Vermont. Not even just for music, visual arts, everything. Like there's so many ideas for such a small place.
Yeah, that's like the amazing thing about Burlington to me. It's just like how rich it is artistically. Like we have so many artistic clubs just here on campus, and then like you step off campus and then you have Higher Ground and Radio Bean, like everyone performing there in the Flynn. So it's just amazing to see the kind of culture that Burlington has, and I really hope that they can like survive gentrification, like keep it going. Like I don't want to lose these places.
Seriously.
No.
Yeah. Let's like put that out there that we 100% just we need to go out again, you guys. Like I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but like let's just take back over. It, you know, it's we're one pivot away, like going out to a club versus staying at home. We're just that one little step away. Like we don't have to be drinking. It doesn't have to be like start at 1 a.m. like what it was like when we were in college, but like it just needs to happen. Like last night I was there, I sang a couple songs and played a little bit of music too at the end, but for the most part I was dancing. I was just like, wait a minute, what's happening to my body?
It was so beautiful. You were just out in the middle of the floor just doing your
like, I'm gonna go dance
release
on the dance floor. And then everyone got up and danced too.
And there's still pockets of community. There's like, I mean, there's like all sorts of show, basement shows, and there's all sorts of like John McBride, who played sax there, and J.D. Haney is a great bass player. Mm-hmm. I play with those guys. They have John does his like Big Easy New Orleans music thing. And so that's my guy, man. Like the little pockets and people come and dance and like they're part of this beautiful expression that we're all together.
There's like such a magic to like dancing in a crowd, like with live music. Like I feel like concerts don't really have that same vibe, but I was at Higher Ground, I think last weekend for the 2000s rave. And like, I've never felt anything like that. It was like super magical. Awesome. Like,
I love it.
Bring back dancing.
We got to, it's alcchemy 101, you know, the way that we are moving through our time so quickly. Like this is such a tumultuous time, which means we have to bring in things that are kind of the alchemy stuff.
Yeah.
Like something that transmutes one energy into another. This is the time for that. And there's really nothing better than like moving your body, singing, dancing, jumping around. Like we got to do it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I was kind of getting that vibe from your music, like this kind of urge to like slow down, but still like move your body and like kind of put energy into the world. Is that kind of like what you guys want to do with your music, like especially this upcoming album?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Like the slowing down thing for me is about going inward more, like not just spending time alone around electronics, really. Like the subtle energy thing for me is really important for us to remember that right now. Like we're creating in realms that we can't see, feel, touch with our with our normal senses. We have to like extend and realize and remember that what's happening here is actually a lot more of what's the unseen, and it is a matter of what we're feeling, what emotions we're bringing, the way we're communicating, the amount of energy and grace we bring to conversations, to every room we go into, like just bringing our awareness back into ourselves and into our really our higher selves, and bringing that to every space that we enter. As musicians, recording artists, that's that's like our number one job, you know? Yeah. Usually it ends up as a party. Like, it's not bad.
And everybody's taking a risk. Fun. Maybe somebody's not comfortable dancing. Maybe we're like not completely comfortable trying a new song out, but like everybody's doing something that's like a little bit out of, and that's exciting. Like, it doesn't have to be music as an art form. Like, I watch a lot of like stand-up comedians.
Love them.
And it's just like you go see these people. Like, I'll go to like an open mic, or we saw Nicole took me to see Maria Bamford when she came to the Comedy Club.
Oh my God, it's so exciting.
We love her. But there's that same feeling of risk, and you can tell when whoever's the comedian is like trying something they didn't really rehearse, and they're trying to like, it's like a snow globe. They're like trying to like just keep turning it around and figure out where the marrow is, you know?
Yeah, it's on the edge.
So exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always loved doing stuff live, like, even though I'm not much of a performer, I'm more of like a tech person, so like there's always like that risk involved, like when you're doing a broadcast or when you're on air live at WRUV, which, you know, you guys should always be tuned into because we're the best radio station. No shade.
You are
nice.
Yeah, thank you.
You made a comment before I wanted to ask you about. Yeah. You kind of made it, there was like when there was like a little glitch, you're like, that's kind of par for the course. Have you embraced the glitchiness? Because happens in our what we do is a lot too.
Yeah, I do. Like, yeah. My first graveyard, when I was like first starting out as a DJ, the board unplugged itself. It was like a brand new board.
No.
So it just like straight up unplugged itself, and I was having issues with my laptop to begin with, and I was like, what do I do? Yeah. Figured it out though, did some CDs, ended up being a fun experience.
Wait, it makes you stronger.
Awesome. Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't, it's not so bad in the end.
No,
it's like,
it isn't.
We're okay still. Nobody got hurt. It's fun times.
Yeah. Like, nobody died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that trial by fireness of like doing things live rather than like rehearsing over, like rehearsing is obviously vital and it's a great way to like get your balance, but like it can't compare to being live, which
totally.
You guys are going to be at Higher Ground on the 20th of March, so that is so exciting.
Yes. Heck yes.
Yes, we are. We're so lucky to have such a great venue like right where we live.
Yeah, Higher Ground is amazing, and if anyone's tuning in and they're on the fence about going, you guys should. Higher Ground has great security, so like it's a super fun vibe, like very super great. So definitely go get your tickets while you're there, because if this is going to be your first time playing day or night live, correct?
The whole record of the record, yeah. So we're very excited, and also like it is what you were saying about the risk thing. Like it's like our new little hatchlings are out now. So we'll see. You know, it's come down and join us, everybody. We'd love to see you there and share in it and see what happens. You know, we don't know either.
Yeah, and it's coming out the day of that you're performing, correct?
The day of, and we're hoping, so we had vinyl pressed with Third Man. Yeah.
It's supposed to be arriving like
so we've got to please,
Ollie
is out there, cross your fingers, oh my God.
Put good energy into the universe.
We made CDs too, and we have them.
And it'll be released on all digital platforms too.
Great, yeah.
Yeah. So we've covered our bases, but the vinyl, we're just like, hoping it works, hope it gets in time, but we'll see.
And I know there's like a huge vinyl, like, I want to say community here in Burlington. Like, a lot of people I've talked to have been like, I collect vinyl, or I spin vinyl. Like, WRV, we have like one of the biggest vinyl libraries, like, in Vermont, I think. So,
just looking at that, that's so awesome.
It's like you do a show and somebody might want to take home a remembrance of it. So, they want, like, maybe they don't want a t-shirt. So, like, the vinyl is like a big surface area.
It's cool.
And you can sign it, and like, and there's like a, what's the other thing we talk about? Like, the ritual of like, making a cup of coffee, like actually listening to one side of this object. You know what I mean?
Slowing down enough to listen deeply and like register how it makes you feel. Like that's just one of the ways that we sort of gel our reality. Like it's the soundtracks of our lives. Yeah. That's such a real thing. It helps us to like form ourselves, really.
Yeah. Our manager's a DJ.
Nice.
Shout out to DJ Red Planet, Dennis Wegmans. And he spent so much time doing orders for this. I think there's 11, we have 11 or 12 songs on this record.
Wasn't he one of the kids that were founders of this radio station? Like,
oh, wow.
I think so. Or like of one of the shows that runs
He was definitely on air, and he was the creator of Club Toast, which was here for
Dennis, if you're listening, call
7 years. Yeah, please straighten out. Straighten
what we're talking about. Straighten me out.
You guys actually do have a chat over here. It says, shout out to Dwight and Nicole, all of from Alex. I can smell the eucalyptus from here, and I love it.
Hell yeah, that's my guy.
Thanks that's for chatting,
my,
Alex.
That's my butt. That's my sauna buddy.
So hi, Alex.
And Alex, I'm so glad you're listening. I got to tell you, man, this is so weird, but we had that show at was also at the Higher Ground, and when I saw you, you were like, man, I was singing something around the house because I'm in a Cuban and Brazilian band called Los Songoros. I play drums, and he was like, I woke up and I was like singing this like Los Songoros aquí. He was saying something like that, and so I've written a song from your phrasing, man. So you and I wrote a song together. I haven't even seen you to tell you that it's not all the way done, but so happy to hear from you, brother. Hope you're good, man.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You didn't even know he's on there. That's
power cool. of radio, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's listening in.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So that is awesome. So it seems like you're in another band. Like, I've kind of noticed that a lot of the musicians around here, they're in a ton of different bands. Like,
yes.
Yes. So Nick and I have lived here 15 years. Mm-hmm. We moved here from New York City. And when we moved here, we were, how many shows a year were we playing?
Like
a lot. We were on tour all the time. We were not in Vermont very much.
Every weekend.
And then Nicole was on a television show called The Voice.
Yeah.
So that took up, like, she was in Los Angeles every 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And everything was, like, very unbalanced. So then we go, we keep touring, blah, blah, blah. The years come. Yeah. And then COVID hits.
Oh.
And it was like everything slowed down so fast.
Everything was blowing up right before that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
The amount of things were like lighting up and just knocking out of the park. We're like, here we go, 2020.
Yeah, 2020.
Nope. It's going to be the year.
But then things got quieter after COVID, and we were working less. And so I played drums, and like I have like one of the world's greatest drummers. Get to play with him in our group, Ezra Oakland. Like, and so I was just playing a lot more, and I started like playing professionally with a lot of groups and stuff, and we weren't touring as much.
Okay.
So, and Nicole was working on a jewelry line, and she was doing some choir directing with the Women's Revival.
It was called the Resistance Revival Chorus.
Nice.
And also you were going to do what you were thinking about. The Dartmouth asked you to do their choir directing too, but we had all these other options going
on,
and so we're like ready to start touring again now.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And and work with all these other groups, which I just love so much. There's so many, like we were talking about the community, so many artists are great.
Yeah, and like you guys have toured as openers for people like Mavis Staples, Melissa Etheridge, and Nora Jones. What was that experience like? Like working with all these different bands and going around?
I love opening for people.
Yeah.
Like for us, when we usually do that as like duo, although we have done it. For Melissa, we did it with the trio, and for Mavis,
we did it
with the trio a couple times.
And Nora, we did. Nora, we did drums too.
So
you played the Flynn with Caleb Bronze on drums.
Wow.
We did. And so for me, it's like being in front of someone else's audience entirely and the challenge of like, hi, you don't know who we are. we're going to be ourselves. Hopefully some of you guys vibe with what we're doing is like, that's, I don't know, it's a high honor and it's a challenge that I love. It feels really good to like introduce yourself and say, hi, like we're here. Nice to meet you. We always gained a lot of like new fans from that, especially
That's
Mavis.
True.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Mavis people, her people, they get us. Well,
she's so sweet. And she's, I think, 83 this year.
Oh, wow.
And her
happy
band,
birthday to her.
They're like, we don't know what she's going to do every night.
Yeah.
She's so, like, in the moment and, like, got such, like, like she might play a song for 6 minutes and play that same song for 20 minutes the next night.
Oh,
she
interesting.
Just has this like
She's
spirit
magical.
About her that is this risk thing that we've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah.
And so it was super cool working with her.
Her energy is palpable.
She's unbelievable. She's like
so
a fire.
Much.
Like a fireball.
Like when she's on stage and she like does this thing where she opens her like chest, yeah, like up like so this, sick. And, she's like, wow. And you just feel like you're being hit with waves of this powerful like mother love energy. It's so she's incredible. Imagined. It's like yeah. It's actually like a healing experience to be in the audience at a Mavis Staples show. You guys, if you've seen Mavis live, you know what I'm talking about. Like it is, you're so thankful that you were on the planet at the same time as this person.
Amen
like,
to that.
She's that level of just beyond musician. She's doing some other type of stuff that's so cool and aspirational.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And it's like you're playing venues that you might not necessarily play. We don't always play 2,000 seaters all the time. So you're opening at a lot of different people. And like, I grew up as a theater kid. I love playing in theater. So like, when we did stuff with Nora, was in the theater. Yeah. And what was the other thing? There's something else about just the randomness. It's like a career is like a merry-go-round. And so we've done some of the weirdest... coolest. I'll give you the weirdest one. Am I talking too much?
No, so, you're so good. No.
So check this out. Like we got a call once. My buddy Zach's sister was producing. They had this TV show that was called Yo Gabba Gabba. It was like for kids.
No, I watched that growing up.
Did you watch that show?
Oh so my check god.
We were like music guests on tour with them.
Yeah, no way. So they were like, well, we couldn't get Erykah Badu. They would like hire like. Someone famous that has family, that has children in each of the
just
cities.
Everybody.
Oh, wow.
Right? Because we won't have kids and like that. But they, and so there was a couple different cities or whatever that they didn't have like a famous, super famous person. So they were like, would you guys come on tour? We'll fly you out. And like, they have these like, you know, it's like seven buses. Like, it's a giant. So we'd be playing these theaters and it was like, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's like 3,000 or 4,000 kids just like screaming. They're like, here's your musical guest.
Wow.
And they like wheel us out on like a platform. And just like the idea of the career being up and down. And like, I would have never thought, I don't know what I'm walking into with this. And like, the kids really are like amazing. So happy. And like, they're also crying. And you know, they're like, it's just like, but then you're playing like a 200 seat club somewhere else in Asheville the next night.
That's insane. Like, wow.
So weird things happen.
That is like the coolest thing I can imagine doing. Like,
so cute.
Yeah, it's a flip flop. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Fascinating. So I guess this kind of leads into another question, but do you guys have a favorite venue you've played? Like just here or just anywhere? Man. Like,
what do you got, Nicole?
You can answer this one.
To the mic.
I have a lot of favorite venues. Yeah. One of my favorite small venue was a place called Club Helsinki in Western Mass, which was like 79 capacity or something like that. But it was such a vibe in there. I loved it so much. Large venue. I mean, shout out to Higher Ground in our backyard. Literally, like one of the best. And we know so many of the people there, so it's like a homecoming feeling every time we walk in the door.
Yes.
I love playing there, and it sounds great. It's just great. We're so lucky. What about 935? That was a great club.
Oh, 930. Yeah.
930 Club.
Washington.
What did I say? 935.
Washington, D.C. That's a fantastic.
Well, how long it's been.
And they got like you get like a little cupcake in your green room that
with
says 930 on it. It says the name
so
of the club.
That's so cute.
930 Club, shout out.
And everybody on all levels from the production managers to the maintenance people to the chefs. It's like everyone's on the same team and there's no like hierarchical feeling or like... Power play, that's a magical club.
And then studios, too. Like, I'll shout out to the Studio G in Brooklyn where we recorded our
last
album.
Yeah.
Like, I love being in the studio, like, being in a space like this. It just makes you, like, you know, think, collect your thoughts and rise to the occasion in a way that I love.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's so
And we got
cool.
studios here in Vermont.
Yeah.
The lab, baby.
Yeah, we have a studio. We have a studio right over there. Just to cross the hall a little bit here in WREV. So if anyone's interested, like we have studio stuff. So shameless plug again.
No,
so.
That's it. We're open. Everybody's plugging. You know, that's cool.
It's extremely cool.
There is something magical about studios, though. Mm-hmm. Like
so magical.
I love nothing more than being in studio. Like it's. Doing WRV is like the highlight of my week. So
that's
it would be mine too.
Yeah,
I love that. I mean, this live show is a different thing. The energy is totally heightened and different. But this kind of thing, the way that like it focuses you and just like it's very calming and also inspiring creatively and just like it makes you bring your best to the table. I love it as well.
Studios and theaters. We had an interview a couple days ago, and it was that, like, those places. Because there's, it's the same thing. It's like a team thing.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
we're all doing together, which is so cool.
It's true.
I wanted to mention one thing. There is a secret record for the heads out there.
Ooh.
At Club Helsinki, a Nicole Nelson solo blues record that I was lucky enough to be invited to play on.
I hired
and
you.
I want to listen to it. I haven't thought about it in a long time, but that record,
Live at Club
you
Helsinki.
Ripped that record.
It
we got to go home and find
it.
Recorded
on, like, I don't know, some, like, somebody pocket.
But the energy, your voice, it was just incredible. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I'm not going to just say this because I live with you. I remember the song. It was called Lonely Nights. Mm-hmm. And it's a Johnny Guitar Watson song. She crushed the song.
So lonely, lonely nights.
That's right. That's what I'm talking. I can hear it in my head.
So, that is incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Imagine me
doing
getting to work next to her every night.
Do that again. Wow. Should we do that song? Ever since you've been gone.
Are you kidding me?
Let's do it. All right, you heard it here
first.
Bringing that song back to the set.
Yeah.
Higher
let's
ground.
Go.
Let's go.
More reason to go to the higher ground show, then.
WREV.
Oh, we'll pull it out on higher ground. Everybody who's there, you just yell out Lonely Nights if you heard this on this interview.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll back pocket that.
Oh, we will.
You guys
if that's what everybody wants, we got to give them what they want.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You do such a good version of that song.
I forgot about that song.
That's amazing. That is so cool, honestly. So there's a lot of hype for your new album and show, obviously.
Yeah,
so this is going to be, both from you guys and just in general from the community, like, I know that people have been talking about it a little.
It's so exciting. You know, so,
super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
gearing up again. I really do feel that. And, like, we have a wonderful team. We mentioned Dennis before. We have a fantastic agent and, like,
brand
a publicist.
New.
And everybody is, like, excited for the vision that we all don't see completely materialized yet. And
we never had, a team like that before.
Yeah, this is the best.
This is really wild for us. Like,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So you guys have been, like, mainly doing everything kind of solo up until now?
Yes.
Wow. Or with relationships with management companies.
Got it.
Or with partial agents.
Thing.
But not the same thing.
No.
So shout out to Kevin Hoskins and to Krista Mettler. We have fantastic agent now and publicist. And, like,
it's wild.
I feel like, you know, I don't want to, like, put a numerical value on how many shows or what. But I just feel like everybody sees it. Take, you know, snowballing, and I can feel what you're talking about.
Yeah,
people are excited, and we're excited. So thank you.
It's
thank
been a
you
long time
to be
coming.
A part of it.
We did
we're
everything
ready to gear
on,
up.
Our, on our own, and would have we had help from, like, friends and things and industry people that we befriended that were, like, took us under their wing and helped us out while the music industry was, like, literally dissolving beneath our feet. You know, we were just like, well, we're gonna still do this, and we're gonna do it in our own way, and we're gonna do what works for us and make it make sense and build our life that way. And if we kept the team small, which we did, like the two of us, sometimes we would have, like, hire people to help us book and things, but we kept it tight enough to keep it running while things were very much so. The industry was in massive shift mode, you know,
and we
it just changed so quickly. And like, so there was nothing you could, like, plan and for like 3 years, 5 years out, you know, you're just like, well, we'll see what happens. We're going to
figure it out.
Yeah. Stay flexible.
Yeah.
We were lucky to have, like, people like Nora and Melissa Etheridge. Like, she had asked us to play a music cruise of hers. And so now we have an anchor date. We can do the whole East Coast because we got
good
gig. But Nick and I always were like, she, you know, she can do a solo show. She can play a bunch of instruments. Music placement was a big thing at one point when we lived in the city. So we were getting songs on movies and on commercials and stuff and making residuals on that. So it was never, we're with this record agent, you know, record label, and we're just doing this thing. We were always making money in or around music in different ways. Even if it was creating jewelry for the shows. Nicole made this. I'm wearing around my neck right now.
Got some very cool jewelry.
That's a wrap. That's a pyrite wrap that she made. And she also made this, which is lapis lazuli, and so.
Oh, nice.
She, yeah. For you out there, I know that you know she's not going to say, but it got too big. She yeah. she had to like stop because she was like, I can't even keep up with the demand. So
everything gets too always, overwhelming for me outside of like I just need a lot of like downtime creatively to like let things settle and simmer so I can create.
Yeah,
you know. And so the jewelry thing, I think I'll come back to it. I know I will.
Oh, nice.
I definitely. I mean, I love that we call it Tiny Town, which is probably similar to this space for you, where you just like. You've got all your little things around you, and you're like good to go.
And
just tune everything out and like Tiny Town it up. You know, I love that. I think you need that as much as the outward stuff, if not more, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You know?
Like, that time to recharge is just so vital for like being able to create.
Yes.
So is that like important to you guys, like when you're writing songs, like lyrically, like what kind of inspires you, and like how do you get into that creative flow?
That's a good question. I honestly feel like it could be anything and everything. Like, I started writing a song today, and I haven't written a song in, like, months. Dwight writes, like, almost every day he's writing a song. And for me, every now and then, I'm like, I'll be walking through the house, and there's no one home. It's me and Apple, our dog.
Aww.
And I'm, like, tidying, and I'll start humming, and then I'll be like, oh, I have this thing. It just starts coming in.
Yeah.
And, like, if I can have uninterrupted time, I'll finish that song that day.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's how I work. Yeah. Like, it's almost like a download type of a
thing
where it's like, ooh, this thing is coming in, and it's like I'm tapping into the future. Yeah. I see myself on stage singing it. The lyrics come right in, and, like, the bridge will come in, and, like, the chorus will come in, and I just start hearing all of it. And then, but usually, like, life steps in, and it's like, you know, my dad's calling about something. I have to get it.
Shout out to Roy.
We have to pay the account. And then we have to go do some, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, but I'll write that song over the next few days, most likely.
Yeah.
Now that I said that, maybe it's going to, I don't know.
Sorry, but. I just jinxed you.
For me, it's
it
like.
It might take a little longer. I don't know. We'll see.
That happens sometimes, but I'm always like just in the, I'm always getting ideas like on my phone, and I'm an extroverted person. So I like want to be out like Alex Cold. We just, he just mentioned that like after the show, like I'll think about that and I'll be like, oh, maybe there's a tune there, or I'll see a painting or something. Yeah. But like Nicole wants to like, she hears all the, like she taught me how to be so much stronger of a harmony singer. She hears like orchestral, you know, don't expect world out there, Nicole, like, you know, classical music scores to get to come out there because she hears it like, and sometimes I hear songs like that, but my thing is like a being, doing it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just like always. And so it's cool. We complement each other in that way. Yes. And we write together sometimes, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We solve each other's problems. Like, I'll say, oh, I don't have this. And she'll be like, oh, it sounds like this. And then now, you know, that. And, like, what were you saying before when we first came here? Like, it's like you did a show once and you were like, the board stopped.
Yeah, my first graveyard. Like, the board unplugged itself.
Right.
And I don't think I'm ever going to live that down because it was, like, 4 in the morning and I was frantically emailing, like, help.
Right.
Shockingly, no one responded, but I fixed it.
But you stayed flexible.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's the whole thing. Like, shout out to my friend Eric Eichmann. And I mentioned this before, but it always sticks in my mind with stuff like this.
Yeah.
I asked him once, I'm like, man, what do you do when you're right? Say you put in 60 hours on a painting.
Yeah.
And then you do something that is irrevocably
damages.
And then he says to me, he says, I make it the worst painting I've ever made.
Oh.
So that he leans into that. So there's never a place where you're like not. So like, it's like this risk thing. We got to take risks and we got to be willing to fall on our faces, but also it's a matter of also staying flexible in the fall. It's like watching snowboarders that come off the half pipe. You're gonna fall, you gotta keep the body loose and like get ready for the next thing. So you did the graveyard shift. You got that figured
4
out.
I am fixing. So so I feel like I feel like you guys would probably relate to this quote then, like, make it exist before you can make it good or perfect. Like, and as a perfectionist, like, I'm trying to live by that. And it seems like you guys really embody that kind of vibe to an extent. So
absolutely. That's the scariest thing as a fellow perfectionist. Mm. It's the scariest thing. And I mean, I played violin in orchestras for your classical for like 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
And that suited me just fine because I was like, the most perfect, I can make it. Like just going insane with that.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. As I was growing up, life was presented me with several very big challenges, very difficult things to go through, and then like puberty and all the other things that you go through that like just turn your life upside down, right?
Yeah.
And so I like started looking for wilder music, or like not consciously, just like finding other things, like finding my generation was like, I mean, Nirvana, you know what I mean, was like happening on the radio. And I just remember being a kid and being like, oh my God, what is that? Who is that? What is that? You know, and like wanting to like scream, sing, and all of a sudden, and like just get a little bit wild with it. So it's something, finding music that like suits your, the period that you're in life and like the emotions that you're going through, like something that speaks to that frequency, like lining that up, you know.
You and that's like to meet somebody that is like loves Nirvana and also loves like Etta James and like John and June Carter and like like all over the place, Soundgarden and like or whatever. Like you have such a broad palette.
I just like that you said John and June Carter.
Yeah.
Well, it's like as you and I like a team. That's cute. They come up a lot because they had like a life together and they did lots of artwork, music artistry together. But she's like all over the map, you know, she, and all those things are valid for her. She had her like Fiona Apple phase and like she loves.
Still ongoing. What do you mean had?
Well, yeah, exactly. So
Fiona.
Like, we love Fiona Apple.
Yeah, I do too.
Still doing
but
it.
But it's so cool to, it may not make us the most marketable band, but when we come out on stage, we're playing all of our influences.
Least marketable band,
we don't do just one thing. We're going to like, are they going to do a Black Sabbath cover? They might. They might do anything.
Yes,
But she's a manifester, though. We were talking about visualizing things. She's like, she's the one in the household that's like in this place above, seeing all the goals. And I'm just like this, like, just Jersey maniac, just out there in the clubs and like playing and like just breathing art all the time. And like, and then, and she's got these like big goals and things swirling. And it's like, it's just, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. She knows what's up. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there, though.
That's a good dynamic to have, and I definitely agree with what you were saying about like kind of going through phases of music that match your phase in life. Like, I'm a one playlist type of person. I've had one playlist since middle school. It's like 1,700 songs. It's like the same. It's basically the one piece of playlist. So
who's on there?
It's a lot of Aura. It's I know there's a lot of Lana Del Rey. I'm trying to find.
Oh man.
Yeah. So. There's some Kiss because my dad was big into Kiss. So.
This is all over the place, too.
It is all over. Like, I think that's like what's so magic about music. Like, you can just kind of see what's there. Like, oh, Aviva is on there. So if you heard the last song I played from the set earlier today.
Yes, we did.
Girls was an Aviva song that I loved in middle school. Like, so, yeah, there's like some real magic to music. So,
so like, you are totally fine with like video games and Love Gun being in the same.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, go for it.
Like, that's so cool.
I think that's, like, fantastic. The fun, like, and also just, like, you can, like, find kind of what you want based off where you go on a playlist for me. So, like, so making a bunch of new playlists for WRV has been a bit of a shift, but, like, like, what do you mean I have to do separate playlists? Why can't I just have one?
Right?
I have that also, like, main playlist that's my go-to, and I tend to pick, like, for a party or for, like, whatever I'm doing, I'll just, like, set up a certain amount from that 2000 song playlist and I'm like, all right, this is my like cleaning the house vibe, this is my people coming over so I'm cooking vibe, and this is the people are here and I think they're gonna love these songs vibe, and they're all over the place.
That's the fun of it, honestly, like kind of if you play like six wildly different songs, at least one of them's gonna be a banger to like someone. So.
Yeah.
If we're cleaning, Nicole's like, it is salsa. It is like Hector Lavoe. He's gonna be singing, and there's gonna be.
If you don't clean to Puerto Rican music, I don't know what you're doing.
Man, I'm telling you, we have some. We get some cleaning done with Hector. Check out Hector Lavoe, everybody. Oh my God.
Oh,
I am not sure what that is.
Is it a fire alarm?
I think it might be. So we are going to pause the broadcast for now and head outside because I think that's... Or wait a sec. An emergency has been reported in the building. While this report is being verified, please leave the building. All right, yeah, so we are going to go off air for a bit, and we will be back soon with that, with more music, or more interview, sorry. So
Stairways Only.
We're on the first floor, it's fine.
book, no t-shirts. Book, no makura. Four stops away from your favorite station. I am not. We love.
草の中に蛇がかくれんぼしてるよ。鹿とヤギの足跡ついてくと森の王様に出会ったけど、あんまり気が合わない。 Hoofprints a path of flattened weeds. There's snakes in the grass. In the mud there's leeches and thorns above us. Thorns above us. 小さなリス、私の